Amen. I pray that you've turned in your Bibles this morning again to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We know throughout our study now, it's been a wonderful study, this book. It's a revolutionary letter, by the way. It's perfect timing for us, for we are hopefully in revolution. Now, with that being said, the Bible tells us, we've learned in the very opening chapter of Hebrews, that in these last days, and we are in the last days right now, God has spoken unto us by His Son. Amen? Jesus Christ, our Savior. Listen, we have learned that Jesus is better than anything. He is better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Joshua. He's better than Moses. He is better than the Levitical priesthood. He's better than every sacrifice. He's in a better tabernacle in heaven. Amen. He's a mediator of better promises and the mediator of the new covenant, which is based, I should say, on better promises. And Jesus is alive. He purged our sins. He is seated right now at the right hand of the majesty upon high. And He is there for you and He is there for me. Amen. I want you to look back this morning because I've been out of the pulpit for two Sundays. And let's go back to where we left off in chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Because those two verses now, they set up the rest of the theme for Hebrews, which is coarse faith. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by what? Let's read that together. The just shall live by faith. That's the title of this morning's sermon. And notice that word live. For the believer, there is no other way to live except faith. Amen? Four times in the Bible, God's word says, the just shall live by faith. And look what happens, though. If anyone draws back, in other words, draws back from trusting God, draws back from faith, look what God says. My soul has no pleasure in him. And he says now to these Jewish believers of the first century there, he says, but we are not those who draw back, meaning we're not going to draw back to the blood of bull and goats. And we're not going to draw back from the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We're not those who draw back to perdition or destruction. But look what? But of those who believe, that means they believe by faith, what? To the saving of the soul. Chapter 11, loved one, is the largest treatment of faith in the entire New Testament. Warren Wiersbe, who is now home with the Lord in heaven, he called faith the greatest power in the entire world. Faith, or by faith, now in our, as we set this up, this new section, by faith is mentioned 18 times in these 40 verses. And actually 24 times there in the 40 verses as well, the word faith is mentioned. Remember that this is a letter, I believe, written by Paul the Apostle. Whoever, it doesn't matter, but I just happen to believe it was Paul. And remember what he called this letter. In Hebrews 13:22, he called it a letter of exhortation, a letter of encouragement. In other words, he was encouraging the Jewish believers who had left Judaism and now trusted in Christ Jesus as their Messiah to keep pressing on, to keep continuing and so forth, the running the race of faith. And there's only one way to run the race of faith. Amen? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. Now, chapter 11 is going to give us an incredible example after example of men and women who, in spite of circumstances, in spite of hardships, in spite of persecutions, they endured and they lived. They never quit. They never gave up, and they did it all by faith. Faith is, without a doubt, one of the most important words in the Bible. Amen? We are saved by faith. But we have to be careful when it comes to faith. You know, people have faith. The natural man, do they have faith? Yes. Well, of course. You know, I mean, they get out of their house like you do every morning. They have keys in their pocket. They put them, well, I guess you don't use keys anymore, do you? In the car. However you enter the automobile today, you have faith it's going to start and get you someplace. Amen? You go to In-N-Out Burger and you give them your little credit card. They don't question it. They, oh God, okay, go and eat. And you don't question what you're eating, but you should. But you eat that by faith. So everybody has faith, amen? Okay, but that's natural faith. We have supernatural faith. The Bible tells us that God has, in Romans 12:3, that God has given each of us the measure of faith. The moment we were born, we have it right this minute, and we build upon that. But we have to know this morning what faith isn't. Faith isn't faith in your faith. Amen? No, it's not. Faith is not a force where we speak things into existence. It's not repetitive confession or confessionism, is it? No, it's not any of those things. And another thing is, it's quite, all of us have memorized many scriptures in the Bible. We can even quote them. But the question is, not if we can quote them and not if we have memorized them, but if, do we believe them? Do we act upon them? There's a lot of false teaching today on what faith is. I remember when I was on the board of Cook Children's Hospital many, many years ago, and I was at the hospital and I was in the elevator, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. This young couple, they were weeping, and I got in and I said, "Ma'am, can I pray with you guys?" And they said, "Why?" And I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. May I pray with y'all? What's happened?" He said, "Our baby's dead." I said, "Dear God." I said, "Let me pray." He said, "Oh, no. We want nothing to do with pastors ever again. We want nothing to do with the church ever again." I said, "What?" He said, "Oh, yeah. You see, our pastor was just up there with us when our child died. And he looked us into the face and he said, 'You know why your baby died? You didn't have enough faith. You didn't believe.'" See, you didn't believe Mark 11:24, where Jesus said, "Therefore, whatever things I say unto you, when you pray, if you believe, you will receive them and you shall have them." And that pastor said, "The reason that baby is because you didn't believe, or you would have received." Well, that broke my heart. So there's a lot of false teaching. You know, you'll never be sick and all the rest. You know what I mean? Come on. No. That's not the faith of the Bible. Now listen carefully. Verse 1 is not a definition of faith. Verse 1 is a description of what faith does, how faith works. Does that make sense? So let's look at it together. "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Every Christian, I believe, probably knows that verse by heart. Amen? But do we understand what that verse means? It says, "Now faith is the substance," okay? That word means it is the assurance. Faith is the assurance. Faith is a title deed, if you will. It's the guarantee that faith guarantees what we have. If you have faith, what you believe from God, you have it. Does that make sense? Okay, so faith is that title deed. So faith, literally that word, substance, it literally means foundation. So our foundation is what? God's Word. The substance of God's Word. We believe what God said. Amen? Oh, that's so, so important. See, our faith has an object. The object of our faith, of course, is Jesus Christ, but it's also God the Father, and it's also all the promises of God and the Word of God, because God doesn't lie. If a believer's faith does not rest upon the Word of God, it's not biblical faith. Amen? Okay. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What things? Well, whatever God has promised in His Word, and we know that the word hope doesn't mean "I hope so." It means it's certain, it's sure, it's unchangeable. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Look at the next big word. Faith is the evidence or the proof or the conviction, it says, of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Boy, that's big, isn't it? Now, what does that word evidence mean? It means, number one, proof. It means conviction, and conviction always requires an action on the part who believes. Does that make sense? In other words, if you are convicted in your heart that God's Word is true, that God can't lie, now it means that you live out what you believe by faith, whether you see it or not. Amen? What does the Bible say? That we walk by and not by faith. sight. Okay, so we the unseen doesn't trouble us at all. But the just, loved one, if you are born again, the just, the righteous ones, the ones that have trusted Jesus, and God says and that imputed righteousness has been put into your bank account, it says the just shall live by faith. You can't live. If you're a believer, you can't. You can live another way, but you'll never live the way God wants you to live. The just, the saved, those in Christ, they live their life by faith in God, the God who cannot lie. And so here it says the evidence of things not seen. So that tells us something else, that faith, true biblical faith, is not based upon the senses of what you can see, what you can feel, what you can taste. You know, what we see in this world may not be true anyway. Amen? Yeah. So it's not based on that. All the evidence we need is God's word. Why is faith not based on what you feel or the senses? Because they can lie. But God can never lie. Titus 1:2. You know, things can change, but God, he never changes. Amen? Malachi 3:6 or Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. So faith does something. Faith, the eye of faith, sees in the invisible realm, sees what they cannot see, but they see it by faith. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 and following, when Elijah and his servant, they were surrounded, they were in a valley, there were hills all the way around, and they were surrounded by the Syrian army. And the servant said unto Elijah, "Oh, master, alas, look, we are surrounded. You know, what in the world, what are we going to do?" That's what we say when we're surrounded by circumstances. We shouldn't be saying that, amen? He says, "What are we going to do?" He says, "Oh, listen, don't fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes." Here it comes. Open his eyes. Was his servant blind? No. He says, "Open his eyes that he may see." And guess what God did? He opened his eyes and he said, "Oh yeah, there are more for us than there are against us." And he saw all the angels all around them and upon the hills and so forth. Amen? Did you know that there are angels with us right now? You don't see them. I don't see them. But I guarantee you that they're here. They're here right this minute, loved one. So the word of God, listen, I pray, that's our prayer. God, open our eyes. Well, I tell you, the church today, loved one, listen, we need our eyes opened. And we need to say, "Lord, I don't want my natural eyes open. I want my spiritual eyes open. I want the eyes of faith." Because the world says seeing is believing. The Bible says believing is seeing. Amen? Yes, so the eye of faith sees the invisible because they believe the word of God. They have it down there. They have the book. Now, listen, that the only way you can do that is by faith. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "While we do not look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen," Paul says. "For the things which are seen are temporary." They're perishing, okay? Everything you see, loved one, is one day going to be gone. They're perishing, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our faith cannot be in this world that's passing away. Amen? We need to be like Paul. We need to be consumed with what we cannot see, meaning not the temporary, but the eternal, the things that are permanent. So the eye of faith, when you believe God's word, whether you don't see it, but you see it. Does that make sense? Because you believe the word of God. So faith is the evidence of things not seen. You know, look there, you're in chapter 11, look at verse 7. This is one of the greatest acts of faith, I believe, in the Bible. Look at verse 7. It says, "By faith, Noah," what did he do? Well, he was divinely warned of things that he could see. No, look at it. He was divinely warned of things not yet seen, okay? But he was moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, became the heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You talk about faith. Listen, had Noah ever seen a flood? Had he ever seen rain? Did he even know how to build an ark? No. How many people were for Noah? The whole world was against him. Yet by faith, that means, now listen, that means he believed the voice of God. He acted on the voice of God. Why? Because he was convicted. He was convinced. And when you are convinced, you do what God says. The greatest act of faith in the Bible is when he sharpened his axe or whatever he had, and he went up there and he cut down a gopher tree and started building the ark, loved one. That is incredible faith. And by his faith, now listen, because he trusted God, believed in God, he didn't see it, he didn't know what it was, he just followed God's instructions, he did something. He condemned every person on earth. Meaning, what does that mean? Noah was right, and the whole world was wrong. Think about that. Now, that's what we say. See, faith is, we just, God said it, we'll do it. That's what we do, and we do it in his strength. Amen? Yeah. Now, let's look at something else. Look at verse 24. It says, and by faith, Moses, what did he do? Well, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, Pharaoh had a plan for Moses, but God had a plan for Moses. It says, he says he refused, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? Here it comes. For he, Moses, looked to the reward by faith. He forsook Egypt. In other words, he renounced it and all that Egypt represented it. He says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? For he endured how? As seeing him who is invisible. Now that is faith. Do you understand? God is real. I don't see God. God is spirit. Okay? I don't see Jesus. He's sitting on the right hand of God right now. But I tell you what, I believe. I believe the word of God because he changed my heart. He changed your heart. Amen? Now, with all that being said, see, Moses made a choice. Do I trust in what I see? Look at all the riches of Egypt, man. And I could be the next Pharaoh. Or do I trust in what I don't see? Listen to me. Had Moses trusted in what he saw, he would have lost God's plan for his life. He would have missed his destiny. And if the just shall live by faith. If you're not going to live by faith, listen, I love you. If you feel like I might be beating on you this morning, I love the first service more than the second, okay? So you know. No, listen, we can't live any other way. We have to live by faith. Does that make sense? Is God pleased with us if we live any other way? No. We have to live by faith. Be obedient to the Lord. Now listen, true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word, no matter the consequences, no matter the persecution, no matter the circumstances. If God says for us to do it, we do it. And we do everything in love, don't we? Yes. Now, look at verse 2. For by it, meaning by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony, or they obtained a good witness or approval in the eyes of God. Now, these the elders are the Hebrews 12:1 bunch, that great cloud of witnesses that we're going to study in Hebrews 11. Now, it says in Hebrews 6:12, it says, the writer tells the Jewish people and us as well, it said, don't become sluggish. Imitate those who through faith, patience, inherit the promises. And now we come to a verse that we all know very well, I'm sure. It says, and by faith, and of course the writer uses the word we, meaning the Jewish believers then, and himself and us today, and every believer, okay, in any generation. By faith, we understand something, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are what? Seen, the things that are visible, the visible universe. Now watch this. They were not made of things which are what? Things which are seen. They wasn't made that way. That's an incredible verse. Creation, all of creation and everything that goes in creation, God made. Jesus, actually, he was the agent of creation. Now, listen, the word worlds there, plural, in the Greek is ion. And it literally means everything that's in time, or literally the ages, if you will. So everything that is in time, in space, in matter, and of course, all of the universe as well. So like you've heard me say, history is his story, amen? Jesus created all of the ages and so forth, all that there is in time, the past, the future, all of it. He's done it all. Now listen, the universe is God's. The universe belongs to God. Do you understand? God owns this world, is his. And yet there are so many brilliant men, women, all over the world. I respect their genius. But you know what? They don't believe or understand this divine fact that God created everything. You know what? Now I want you to listen to me. Sometimes Christians get a little puffed up or proud. But here's the deal. We would not have known that God made everything had he not told us. We would not know that God made the sun, the moon, the stars, everything, that he just spoke it. Do you understand? So we should never be puffed up about that. We should say, what a gift God has given unto us. We know how the world came into being. It's not the Big Bang. Do you understand? We know that we're made in the image of God. Amen? Oh, how wonderful to know those things. So look at it again. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Now, to believe that the universe exists, it doesn't take any faith for that. Matter of fact, if you were driving in early this morning like me, the sun hits you right in the face, you could see it. You know, I don't have to have faith. There it is. The moon comes up at night, the stars and so forth. It doesn't take faith. But to believe that we live on a planet spoken into existence out of nothing. Think of nothing. You see what I mean? Nothing. There's nothing. Nothing. How do you take nothing and make it into something? There's not one scientist. You know, they're telling us today, trust science. Okay, praise God, whatever. But they can't tell us how the world was made out of nothing. No person on earth can tell you that. And I mean, oh God, that is just unbelievable. Now, the church should know how the world was made because the Bible just told us. It says that God just spoke it. Amen? Man, listen, he spoke it and it happened. Let me give you the scripture, Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, it was done. He commanded, it stood fast. It says in Psalm 33:9. I like what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, creation was the fruit of a word. Let there be light. Light was. Can you believe that? The power in God's spoken word. It is unbelievable. So it says that the world were framed by the word of God. Now I want you to listen to me because now we're getting into what I want to talk to you about. The word there, it says by the word of God, the word of the Lord, the word is not logos. Logos is, here's the logos of God, right here. It's the written, you see it? That's logos. That's information on a page. Does that make sense? So the word logos is not used there. That's what's very important this morning. The word in Greek is rhema. Rhema means divine utterance or the sayings of God or God speaks. Does that make sense? God spoke. The living God, he has spoken. Now listen, rhema comes alive. When God speaks, does something happen? Okay, so rhema, when God speaks, the spoken word, when God speaks, something has to happen. Let there be light. Light was, okay? Very important word. So the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. How does this right here get into your heart? Well, first of all, God wrote his laws on our hearts, amen? He gave us a new heart. But this is when information on this page becomes revelation or comes alive in your heart, and now you're convicted that word is true. Does that make sense? Very important. Now, with all of that being said, a very important scripture that I'm going to, this morning, repeat probably many times. You know, like I said earlier, the just shall live, meaning live this life on this planet by faith. There is no other way to live. Now, here it comes, Romans 10, 17. So faith cometh by hearing, everyone say hearing, hearing, and by hearing the word of God. The word of God means the rhema of God, not the logos of God. Does that make sense? And they are different. Now, so it's the faith comes. Why? Well, here I am. I'm preaching the logos of God. And then sometimes I have people come up to me and they go, man, that word, it came alive in my heart. Well, I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit did that. Does that make sense? So he took the information, the logos that I'm sharing with you right now. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God, and it becomes the rhema. It becomes alive in your heart. And I'm going to tell you something. What I'm about to tell you this morning, church, it has to come alive. It has to come alive now in our hearts. Faith does not come by hearing just anything. Faith cometh only one way. Does that make sense? By hearing. Where do you hear at? In your ear, by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Listen, the hour, loved one, you know, I've been away for 2 weeks and I've been praying and thinking, and I'm telling you that I believe with all of my heart that the hour is urgent. It's urgent right now. Oh, Bill, don't say anything depressing. I'm not going to say anything depressing. I'm teaching God's word. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul the apostle in Romans 13, 11 through 12, he said this. He says, and do this knowing the time. You know, we need to know the time. You know, we have two legs. One leg should be the Bereans, right, where we study the scripture. And the other leg should be like the sons of Issachar. Remember what they knew the times they were living in, and they knew what was going on, and they knew what to do. Amen. Those are the two legs that every Christian should be walking on right now. So Paul says, listen, right now, the time, right now, it's urgent. We can't delay. We got to get our thinking right. He says, it's high time. That means the hour is critical right now. It has arrived for the Christians in Rome, but it's also arrived for the Christians here in Fort Worth. And he says, what's it time to do? Here it comes, loved one. To awake out of sleep. That's speaking not of I'm sleeping in my bed. That's speaking of a condition of the believer. To awake out of sleep is speaking of a condition. It means that the believer can be out cold. You're just unconscious to the things of God. You're unresponsive. You're inactive to the things of the Word of God. Does that make sense? He says, man, it is time to wake up. We can't be a people that is untouched by the truth of God. His word. He says, for now our salvation, meaning our future glorification, going home to heaven, for now our future salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. That means time is very short. It's limited. And the day is at hand. That means opportunity is now brief. We have to do something about it. Paul tells the church in Ephesus, he tells us as well in Ephesians 5:15, he gives a command. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, or you walk with your walk, your lifestyle is one of exactness, or you're careful in your walk in every day in this world we live in. He says, why? He says, don't you be fools, but be wise, redeeming the time, buying up every opportunity. Time is short. He says, because walk carefully, walk with exactness, because, and he tells us why, the days are evil. He doesn't say the months are evil. He doesn't say the years are evil. He says the days are evil. Loved one, listen, our nation, the sewer that we're living in right now, the nation that we love, the nation that we pray for, the nation that we have, if you're a veteran, we fought for. Loved one, listen to me now. It's overflowing with evil. You know it, and I know it. So Paul says, therefore, don't be unwise. He says, don't be unwise. He says, but understand what the will of God is. Well, let me just give you one thing that I know is God's will. The just shall live by faith. Are you with me? There's no other way that you can live, loved one. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:1 is the fuel, if you will, the fuel for revolution. Remember, this 2022 to 2024, we are in revolution according to the word that God gave us. I'm not going to define it because I can't. I can only declare it. God's the one who makes it real and defines it. Amen? But it's a fuel. It's a fuel for revolution, and it's called faith. Again, four times in Scripture, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. We know from Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please God, for he must believe, we must believe, that's faith, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? It says in Romans 14:23, whatsoever, Christian, is not of faith is sin. The just shall live by faith. There is absolutely no other way. The church in America, we are facing right now the darkest days, the American church, the darkest days in our history. And faith is the only answer for revolution, to turn things around. Does that make sense? Hebrews is a revolutionary letter. Man, I say, oh Lord, we only have 161 days left in 2023. And I'm going to say some things, and I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to depress you. Normal is not coming back. Do you understand? It's gone. Normal is not coming back. Jesus is, and that's the amen, and maybe it might be today, but normal is not returning to our country. The old normal will never return, because the old America that I knew, and I'm old enough to remember, I think I still remember, the old America is gone. I went back and I looked at the New Year's message in 2022, and I made this statement. I said, What will you do? What will the church, what will Christians do when the American dream turns into the American nightmare? May I tell you that we are already in the American nightmare. Right this very minute, it's already here. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said this. He said, the generation now coming out of Western schools is unable to distinguish good from bad. Now listen to what he says now. Good or bad? And then he says, even those words, good or bad, they are now unacceptable. Do you see how everything has changed? Listen, did you know that nearly half of all the millennials in our nation, they think, and here's a new word, I just learned it, misgendering. It's almost like learning a new term every week, isn't it? Misgendering, you ready? Misgendering should be a crime. Now here it comes. A poll conducted by Redfield and Wilton Strategies for Newsweek. They conducted this survey. They found that 44% of millennials believe that referring to someone by the wrong gender pronoun, he, him, she, her, should be a criminal offense. I want you to listen. I've already told you that a long time ago, didn't I? Do you understand what's happening? Listen, we live in a world right now. We live in a world. They are screaming at you. The world is screaming, conform or else. You say that and I don't give a what the world says. You know why? I'm not of this world. And not only that, I'm not conformed to this world. Amen? I'll never be conformed to this world, because I have been and you have been transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds to the truth of God's word. The just shall live by faith. And we have to live by faith right now, loved one. So faith. Faith cometh how? By hearing. And by what? Hearing. Why did God say that twice? Why did he say that? Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word, the rhema, the spoken word of God. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm not saying that I'm exactly correct on what I'm going to tell you, but this is the way I think. I believe that the ear is the portal that God uses. Do you understand? For the rhema word. We have the logos. We have that written word. See, a rhema word can come where the Holy Spirit is speaking to you personally. Did you understand? And that means it's a rhema word. It's a spoken word. And you're either going to act on it if you believe it or not. But what I want you to hear now is about how the ear is the portal that God uses. Remember, rhema is the spoken word of God, the divine utterance of God. Did you know in Genesis chapter 1, it says that God spoke, the rhema, he spoke 10 times. If you go to Revelation, the book of Revelation, Jesus said 8 times, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You go to Mark chapter 4 and study out the parable of the sower. And it says, and these heard the word of God. These heard the word of God. And this was the result. Remember? Over and over, those that hear. Jesus said in Matthew 11:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said in Mark 4:24, he says, take heed what you hear. Take heed what goes into your ear. For with the measure that you use it, it'll be measured back to you. Oh, we have to be so careful. We are living in the last days when God has spoken by his Son. And you know where we are right now? Let me give you the scripture about ears and about hearing. It says in 2 Timothy 4:3, the time will come when they, meaning those in the church, not the world, when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, meaning healthy teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. Ears that are itching. Oh, that finding teachers that'll scratch their ear. They'll be turned away, it says, from the truth and turned aside to fables. Remember what I told you months ago, I don't know, maybe it was last year. I said this. I said the church, for the Christian, the church can be the most dangerous place on earth for the Christian. You say, oh, Bill, what? You want me to tell you why? Because Christians sit in the pew year after year after year after year, and they hear God's word over and over and over, but they don't do it. They don't do what God says. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. There's no other way to live, loved one. And listen, there's a hardness in the church. I've said it before. This hardness in the church today doesn't come from hearing the truth of God's word. This hardness in the church today comes from hearing the truth of God's word and not doing it. Do you understand? The just shall live by faith. But is just hearing the word enough? No, it's not enough. What does James 1:21 say? Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Okay, you hear it, but then you have to do it. You see, listen, it says, if you don't do that, if you hear God's word and you don't obey God's word, Christian, listen to me now, it means you're deceived. That's what James 1:21 says. It means this. Now listen, it means that God's word that you hear doesn't have any effect upon you if you don't, by the power of the Holy Spirit, put it into practice. Does that make sense? You can't do it, but you can because you have the Spirit of God. It's not your strength. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen? It's his strength in us, loved one. Now, with all of that being said, let me give you a few things about the ear, about us hearing. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Pardon me. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I say? I say that you hear in the ear. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, he told us, how does man live? Not by bread alone, but by every word. That word is rhema, spoken word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:24, he said this, whoever hears with the ear, okay, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the winds and the storms and the floods, meaning the problems in this life, they came. But that house didn't fall. But he who hears with the ear these sayings of mine and doeth them not, doesn't do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his life, who built her life, or teens building their lives on sand. Boy, the storms came. The winds, the problems of life came. And Jesus said, and great, was the fall of that house, of that person, of their life. Listen, you cannot build your life of faith during the storm. You build it before the storm. Does that make sense? And listen, only those, if you listen to Jesus, Matthew 7, 24 and following, only those who hear God's word and does God's word had the victory. Do you understand? That's called the just shall live by faith. Now, with all that being said, that's the ear that God uses. What about the eye? I believe that the eye is, much of the time, is our enemy, what we see. Amen? So I would say that the eye is the portal, then, that Satan uses, okay? Let me tell you that's how I did it. Let me give it to you. Genesis, the serpent, remember, and Eve, Genesis 3, 5, you know, God said, the devil said, you're not going to die, go ahead and eat that stuff, you know? He said, for God knows in the day that you eat it, Eve, your eyes, not your ears. They already heard what God said. Only one tree you can't eat of, right? Okay, your eyes, Eve, they're going to be opened, and you know what? You're going to be just like God. Knowing good and evil. So the woman, here it comes, her eyes, when she saw the tree was good for food, when it was pleasant to her eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, she ate, she gave to her husband with her, and he ate, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. Do you see what Satan does? He does it with the eye. Listen, the eye is an enemy. See, we have the eye of faith. We see what's unseen. Circumstances cannot rule our life if the just is going to live by faith. Amen? Listen, God brought 1 million plus women, children out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? How many made it into what God had for them, the promised land? Two people out in the first generation, and that Caleb and Joshua, that was it. Why? Faith. They lived by faith. The 12 spies, they spied out the land, then they returned in Numbers 13, 27, says they returned, and here's what the spies said. They turned and said, I'm telling you truly, just like God said, this is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But then they said, nevertheless, the people who dwell there, they're strong. They're a bunch of mean people. The cities, they're fortified. They're large. And moreover, we saw the giants. You know what? That's what their eyes saw. And you know what? Those are all facts. The cities were well fortified. There were giants in the land. They were a huge people. All of those were facts. But here's what I like. It says, and then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Loved one, that is revolution talk. Do you understand? He's believing the promises of God, didn't he? God said, I'm going to take you into the land flowing with milk and honey. You've got to go. You've got to cross that Jordan and go into it. He says, but the men who had gone up with him, here's what they said. We're not able. They're just stronger than we are. You know, he said, listen, the land, I'm telling you, they devour their inhabitants. All the people we saw, everybody's giants. And we saw also the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. That word means insects. I'm just a little insect. He says, and in their sight, we were insects too. Now, that's what you call walking by sight and not walking by faith. Listen, did Caleb see the same thing that the other 10 spies saw? Yes. He saw there were giants. He saw that the well-fortified cities. He saw all of it. But he said, we can take them. You see that 10-foot giant? Oh, he's coming down. No. See, that's what faith does. Faith doesn't say, well, we can't do it. If God said it and you believe it, you can do it. Amen. Amen. And that's where we have to be right now. Now, here's a fact. Did the first generation, did they make it into the promised land? No, they missed their destiny. And the just shall live by faith. And if we don't, listen to me, 21st century church, listen now. If we don't make that our top priority right now, the just shall live by faith. It says that faith worketh by love, is energized by love, the love of God. If we don't do that, we will be no different than the first generation. We will not enter into the plan and the purposes of God in this generation if we don't live by faith. Does that make sense? We'll miss our destiny just like that first generation did. How about Acts chapter 5, I think it's 1 through 11. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Remember what they did? Did they lie to God? It said they lied to the Holy Spirit. And it says that Satan filled their heart that they should lie. And so they were questioned. Peter said, did you sell the land for such? Oh, yeah, we sold all this property for such and such. Yeah, here it is. And then Peter said, well, you're testing the Spirit of God. Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Who is God? He said, you kept back part of that money. Why did you do that? You didn't have to do that. Why would you do that? Why did they do that? I'll tell you why. Because Anna, and they both died, remember? Ananias and Sapphira, they did not trust in the unseen. They trusted in what could be seen, money, materialism. Does that make sense? Now, whenever we finally come to understand that everything we have, God provides, we won't worry anymore. Listen, He owns it all. If you have a home, you ought to thank God because He gave it to you. Oh, no, I didn't. No, you didn't. No, it's God is the one who gives a power to get wealth or even to make a living. Amen? Yeah. Listen, we've got to wise up, loved one. Listen, what does it say about in 1 John 2, I think it's 15 through 17? What does it say? What did the apostle of love say about loving this world? He said, don't do it. He said, don't even love the things in this world, meaning the world where God is left out. He says, because the world is ruled by three things, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and then it goes and he says, and the lust of the eyes. But this world is passing away and the lust therein. But he who doeth the will of God, the just shall live by faith, he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. Loved one, listen to me. There will be no revolution. I had a young lady that I love dearly write me a letter when I was in Amarillo teaching and asking me questions. Bill, are we in revolution? Are we going to cross the Jordan? And I said, yes and no. Not everybody's going to move into it. You see, we don't know what's coming. I don't even understand the word that God gave me all that time ago, but I believe it. I don't have to understand it. Did you know that? But I believe it. And here's the thing. There's not going to be a revolution unless we hear God's word and do God's word. The ear is the portal that God uses. Remember, listen, Hebrews 3:7, we've already learned it. Remember what it says? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, the Spirit of truth, he speaks. Listen, do you know that out of the 59 times in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit is mentioned, 39 times the Holy Spirit is speaking? He's speaking. The rhema of God. Does that make sense? It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, in the Greek, that word is urgent. Right now, today, if you hear His voice, if you hear His voice, the voice of God, oh, don't do what He says. In other words, listen, that's the power of right now. Remember that sermon, the power of now. When you hear God's voice, do what He says. It says in Hebrews 1:2, remember I quoted at the beginning of the service, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his son. At the transfiguration, whenever Jesus and Peter and Paul, John and James, whoever it was, were up there. And remember, Jesus was transfigured before them. And what, there was a voice that came from heaven in Matthew 17:5, and it said this. It said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And then what did he say? Listen. Are you listening to Jesus? He speaks through his word. Are you doing it? He says, listen to him. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice." My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I have an intimate relationship with them, and they follow me. Are you? Are you following the Lord? He says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and no one will ever be able to snatch them out of my hand." When Jesus was standing before Pilate in John, 18:37, Jesus said this, everyone who is of the truth, meaning the truth of God's word, hears my voice. Hears my voice. Obeys my voice. Walks with me. Loved one, listen. Can we just hear the voice of Jesus right now? I'm going to read it to you. Is that okay? Can I read to you our revolution scripture that we started out with in 2022? Let me read it to you. Jesus said this, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Let me give you William's translation. "Until this present moment, the kingdom of heaven has been continuously taken by storm, and those who take it by storm are seizing it as a precious prize." That's what faith does. Jesus said, "Little children, it is my God says it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We belong to an unshakable kingdom. Amen. We'll learn that later on as we study here. Loved one, listen to me. We've got to do something. Let me go on. If Jesus, if you kept reading that, you know what he says when he gets down to verse 15? Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There we go again, the same thing. Now listen to me. I'm going to say some things that are hard, and I love you, okay? But I'm going to say this. You have to hear this. We are moving into 2024. We have 161 days or whatever it is. The church, I don't care. I'm not responsible for any other church but here to speak truth and love to you. But the church has to stop pretending. We have to stop pretending to believe the promises of God when we don't. We have to stop pretending to follow Jesus when we don't follow Jesus. Come on. Jesus said, what did he say in Luke 9:23? "If anyone desires to come after me," you want me, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, "deny yourself, disown yourself, take up your cross daily, follow me." Meaning, we no longer call the shots, he calls the shots. We were singing a song earlier, it says, "Jesus, I will follow you everywhere." Do we really mean that? See, we have to stop pretending to pray. We have to stop pretending that we're serving God. We have to stop all those things. We can no longer pretend. The Christian can no longer pretend to be a living sacrifice when he's not, when she's not. We can no longer pretend to be filled with the Spirit of God when we're not walking in the Spirit of God. We can no longer pretend to love God with all of our heart and our neighbor as ourselves when we're not doing it. We have to stop. Why? For the days are fast approaching. I'm probably wrong about what I'm about to say, but maybe I'm not. If you study out when Jesus gave the long discourse on the coming, you know, the end of time. In Matthew 24, I believe it's in verse 32, he starts talking about the fig tree. He says, you know, when you see the fig tree, when it's tender, when it's starting to bloom, remember that? And he says, when you see these things, he says, I want you to know that this generation will not pass away until they see all these things accomplished. Now, I used to teach that a generation, meaning the generation of people who sees these signs, and we're seeing signs, okay, that that a generation was 40 years. But Moses, I was studying Moses in Psalm 90, and he says, you know, that man, it said, our life is a vapor, remember all that? And he says, some of us, we live to be 70, or yet by strength, 80 years of age. So I say, well, what if that's the generation? That's the years of a generation. Does that make sense? 70 is God's favorite number, isn't it? Or seven, you see? So okay, when he says, when you see these things happen to Israel, what was he talking about? He's talking about the generation that sees Israel become a nation again. May 14th, 1948, who became a nation? Israel. No other nation in the history of mankind has ever come back from death like that. None. Do you understand? They are in their homeland again. Well, okay, so if you just go from 1948, and if you start adding things up, and let's just say, let's use a middle number. We have 70 to 80 years. Let's use 75. Do you know what that number would be? It'd be 2023. If it was going to be 80 years, 1948 plus 80 years would be 2028. Listen to me now. I'm not saying that I'm right. But I'm saying, what if I am right? What if we're right there? Do you understand me? Are we expecting the Lord? The just shall live by faith. Now listen to me. I'm nearly done. Just hold on. If we will not live by faith now, if we will not obey Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. It's not difficult. It's impossible. If we will not obey Hebrews 11:6. We will never live Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. We'll never do it. We loved one, we will never, never even experience Ephesians 3:20. We will never believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think according to the power that is working in me. We won't believe that. Does that make sense? We have to live by faith. Jesus said this, most assuredly, in John 14:12, I say to you, he who believes in me, now that's faith. Now faith is right now. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Romans 10:17. So faith, the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans 10:17 again. Faith cometh by hearing. And by hearing, that's the portal that God is using. You hear, but listen, because God's word is alive. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing. And by hearing the rhema, the spoken word of God. Did you hear it? Do you hear him? Do you hear him calling this church? Do you hear him? We must wake up while we have the opportunity. As we have 161 days before we move into 2024. Again, I don't know what's coming. I don't have a clue. All I know is I trust God. I trust God. And the words that I receive, listen, you go back over the years, I've already told you all that. We go back, have they ever been wrong? I'm not saying Bill was right. No. I'm saying, listen, I'm really stupid enough just to believe. No, it's the truth. I don't have anything going for me. You know that. I mean, I butcher the English. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. I know a delicatessen, though, owned by one, but you know, do you understand me? I don't know why I said that. Are we going to wake up? The just shall live by faith. By faith. I know it's time to go. Can I say one more thing? What did Jesus tell Thomas? What did Thomas tell him? If I can't put my finger in his side and I see the nail prints of his hand, I'm not going to believe in him. Okay. Enters Jesus. Thomas, put your finger there, buddy. Look at the nail prints in my hand. Don't be faithless, but be believing. You have seen me. Now you believe me. But blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. Amen. Father, I thank you for this word, and I thank you, Lord. Maybe there's someone here this morning listening live, listening on the radio, listening in this early service. If they don't know Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I'm not asking you to join this church, because that's not, you have to be born again to be in the church. But I'm telling you, if you're playing Christian, if you're playing I'm following Jesus when you're not, if you're just naming him but not living it, you need to right now get right with God. Right now, this is your moment to come to him. So if that's you, and just listen, you don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to do any of those things. But you have to lift your hand as a signal of faith and say, Bill, pray for me. I want to be saved, or I want to be right. I just want it, and I want it now. Anyone at all, before I close out, just lift it high, put it right back down where I can see. Anyone at all. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. That's right. Anyone and say, Bill, that's me. Right now. Hurry. Hurry. It's urgent. Oh, Father, you saw the hands, and you saw maybe the hands of those that, listening live right now over the internet. Those that lifted your hands, whether you're getting right with God or are you becoming a brand new believer, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, you said, I shall know the truth. And the truth will set me free. Oh, I believe the truth is Jesus. So Lord, right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, Father, you raised him from the dead. And you promised in your word that you cannot lie. And that if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? God is good. Listen. If those that lifted your hands, we're going to close with a song, and there'll be people down front. They have a booklet entitled Welcome to the Family of God. They want to give it to you. They're not going to take your telephone number, wonder where you live. They're just going to, it's a free gift. Amen. You that listening live, if you prayed that prayer like so many have done, just email me at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address. That booklet will be mailed out first thing tomorrow morning. If you need prayer, respect the altar area and let people come down for prayer. Amen? Well, it's good to be back. God is good. God is good. What a great church you are. Faithful church. I'm proud of you, because we're going to live by faith. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. Yes, you are.
God is so good.
He's so good to me. And I love him so. Thank you, Jesus.
I love him so.
He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name.